Thank you, Marvin. Of course, I'll have to admit to each of us that stands up here would naturally like to have your attention, but most and above all, always your prayers. I'm going to talk this afternoon, I suppose, on maybe the song that my daughters just sang, Take Time to Be Holy. That's what it's all about. It's taking time out of your life to worship the Lord. And I know that the world keeps us busy and there's all kinds of things that come up that seems to draw us away, seems to cause us to forget sometimes to perhaps to meet together when the Scripture says that we should meet together all, to pray one for another, to bear witness one to another. He knew the time that you and I are living in. The prophets of old prophesied of the time that you and I are living in. And he knew there were going to be hard times for those who desire to walk spiritually before the Lord. He was aware of that. He was aware of the fact that we had to keep in mind that he is a God that does not change, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To keep in mind that his love and his might and power, his tenderness and mercy is the same today as we read through the Holy Scriptures when he moved and blessed and held those of his people in the hollow of his holy hand. And that I have the opportunity today to come and to look upon the faces of those who have chosen to follow him, who have chosen to enter into the waters of baptism, who have chosen to walk after the Lord, who have chosen to do as the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, has chosen to put on Christ. And you know, that's quite a garment to wear when you think about it. And yet, when we put on Christ, then we realize that the blessings, the power, the joy, the happiness, the love, the charity, that charity goes with it. And it goes with those of the hearts of the children of men. When you find a person that has a hope within their heart, you find a person that believes in the Lord. Because our hope and our trust is in God. It's in the Savior. And it's not in man. It's not in the arm of the flesh. And I hope that those of you that are here today, I know that some of you wasn't. I'm sorry that you wasn't here this morning to hear our brother talk. Because he brought out some beautiful points and he brought out the gospel of Christ. And you know, Jerry come to me and she asked me, she said, what shall I call this sermon that you're going to preach there today? And I said, you know, I really don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to talk on. As I prayed about it, there were several things that come to mind. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to be able to cover them all, or I'm going to try to cover them all, or I just don't know. You might call it about the gospel. You might call it about love. You might call it about different things. I'm not sure. And so I'm going to be just as surprised as you are when I stand. But I'm here to state that our brother today, this morning, he preached and used some of the very scriptures that I was going to use. So he narrowed down some of the things I'm going to bring to you. So you'll be happy about that. I see you're grinning. But you know, I'm going to be like Paul Harvey. I'm not going to give you the rest of the story because the story is so vast and so beautiful. It's impossible for us to grasp it in a 3-day session. It's impossible for us to bear witness one to another of the experiences that we've had in the Lord in that short length of time. Because as I heard a testimony here this day from a sister, that you know, we're blessed daily. Each moment of our lives, we're blessed even to the breath of life in which we breathe. we need to thank the Lord. And so I'm going to bring a few thoughts to you. I want to talk, I want to talk about the world. I want to talk about the gospel. I want to talk about you and I, perhaps, and some of our responsibilities. And I want to talk not only about the gospel, but I want to talk about us putting it to use in our life and how important that is. Because, you know, a few years ago when I preached back here, I had my brother come up with his guitar, and he looked at me and he took it out. And he said, "Well, boy," he says, "you know," he says, "this is an old guitar," and he says, "it's not even tuned, and you know, and everything's here, but you're not going to ask me to play a song, are you? You remember that, Roger?" And I told him, I said, "No, I'm not going to ask you to play a song. I just want to get out, and I want you to get in front, and I want the people to see that you got a guitar, and it has all the strings on it. And you know, we have the gospel, and it has all the strings on it. But just like that guitar, you and I have to tune our hearts and our minds, our soul, into God. That when it's played with perfect harmony, according to the Lord, and not of man, nor art, and not, as our brother said, this day of the arm of the flesh. But those individuals that has taught us the way to eternal life, and created the flesh, and breathed the breath of life in us, and created the way that you and I could walk to have eternal life. These are some of the things I want to talk to you about today. Because remember, he doesn't change. Remember, the message of eternal life still rings in the hearts to those who believe and will receive the gospel of Christ. They still ring and cause the joy and the happiness, and it floods the souls of those who believe, and they have the abundance of life that Jesus talked about. They have those things because they have a hope, they have a trust, they have a belief, they have prayer where they can go and talk to the Lord and visit with Him and lay before Him His burdens and the desires of their hearts and their joys and their happiness and their thanks for the blessings of life and the many prayers that He has heard and answered. And so as a result, I want to talk about a few of those things today. You know, the gospel, our brother was saying, you know, you've got to study. You got to study. That's true. You know, I'd have a ton of a time, you know, trying to teach somebody something in a school that I've never taken up. You know, Sam was saying that his wife was teaching in the Indian schools again this year, and so she has to have an understanding of what she's going to teach. You know, a teacher has to know the subject or he can't teach it. It's impossible to teach something that you don't understand. And that's something that's where he tells us to study and to seek and to ask. He says, knock. And he says, you know, and ask. And he says, and the door will be open to us. Seek, he says, and you shall find. He has given us, he has provided this written record so that you and I would know. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we go a lot of places, and especially those of us that's been working on the Indian reservations, you find a lot of traditions, you find a lot of things, and you know, it's handed down from word to word, from mouth to mouth, and it comes down through the generations of time. You know, one time when I was preaching in Phoenix, and there's not half as many people as there is here today, you know, I started saying, I wrote it down, and I wrote down on there, Jesus died on the cross so our souls wouldn't be lost. And I started in the first person. I had them read it. And I told them, I said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to pass that around throughout the congregation. And so they passed it out, and I went ahead and I kept on preaching. And finally it came around to the last person. And so I asked them to stand up and tell me what they heard. And it was entirely different. And we were just a small group in the room. Then I took a piece of paper and I wrote a scripture on it and I passed it around. I told them, I said, you take that piece of paper and pass it around. And they passed that piece of paper and it went all the way around the room. And when it come back and the brother stood up and read it, it was the exact same thing. That's the word of the gospel of Christ. That's why God has provided us with this word that he has kept, so that you and I could know him and understand to a certain degree his love and compassion and mercy. That's why he caused those things to be written, so that we could know his son. That's why, if you look it up, in one of the definitions of gospel is good news. And those who believe in the gospel of Christ have good news, because in that gospel of Christ is a salvation for the souls of the children of men. There's a salvation for you. There's a salvation for me. There's a way to walk. There's signposts that alert us. Look out for this here, and watch out for this step here, and go around this here because there's a snake there that might bite you. That there's signs all the way through that God has provided for us, so that we could walk the path in safety, so that we could walk the path with Christ and not be afraid. And you know, the scriptures tell us we don't have to be afraid. The scriptures tells us that if we don't have to be afraid, he says the Spirit of God isn't a spirit of fear. He says it's the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. It is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of power that can heal the sick, that bless little babes, that will pour out the Holy Ghost upon those who have entered into the waters of baptism and in the confirmation time. That gospel of Christ is a gospel of power. It's a gospel of strength to those who believe. It certainly is a gospel of love. And it's a gospel of a sound mind. Because when you are centered in, when you are on that gospel of Christ, then you aren't easily shaken, and you're not easily led off course down into the things of the world, those things that will destroy you. That brother that preached there this morning, he read to you over there in Alma, he read to you about the Lahaina, he read to you about the compass, and here they followed that compass, and that compass took them through the wilderness. And you know, you and I have a compass today, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord, the Son of the living God. And he will direct our paths to righteousness. He will direct our path to eternal life if we'll allow that compass to work within our life. But in the world today, the Lord is a gyro. He's a constant north. He's not like a regular compass that is run by magnetic, that has a variation and has a deviation, and you go in different parts of the world and you go to take the compass, and at one part of the world it'll pull off 10 degrees over here, and the next part of the world it'll be 3 over here, and one thing and another. So if you were plotting a course, you have to figure all these things out to be sure that you get the right course, and all this that would deviate and come in and try to pull you away. That's Satan. He's always trying to run variation or deviation at us so that our compass, that Christ, would not be a true course for us, but he is a true course. The Book of Mormon says that, you know, that he's straight. You know, he doesn't walk around. He don't go everywhere. His course is straight. One eternal round, complete. And that's something that you and I can depend on. And you know, I think about this, and I thought about that, you know, about the gospel of Christ being good news. Then on the other hand, I could say that the gospel of Christ is bad news. Yeah, I could say that the word gospel is bad news. It's bad news to those who won't believe. It's bad news to those who reject the gospel of Christ. It's bad news to those who will not listen. It's bad news to those that have a stiff neck and proud and think that they can do as they please and it doesn't make any difference to the Lord. It's bad news when they think that that's a third person, fourth person idea when it's really a A first-person gospel. It covers each one of us personally, the individual that we see when we're looking in the mirror. That's what it's covering. It's covering you and I. It's covering the work that you and I must do. That's just exactly what it is. And so it can be good news or it can be bad news. And you know, I thought about that. And I thought about the Lord going up and up on the mountain saying, you know, Jerusalem, you know how often I would gather you, and a hen would gather chicks and ye would not. And you know, I thought to myself, are we listening to His voice today? Is He trying to gather us? Are we like them? Are we not listening? Do we have our mind on other things of the world? Are we pulled away to where we can't accomplish the things that the Lord would have us to do because we're so caught up into other things that we feel like is so important? You know, we can ask ourselves sometimes, we can say, well, what is an idol? And they'll say, well, that's something that they molded, that golden calf for the house of Israel, or he carved that great big idol and he did this. An idol is anything in your life that takes first place over Jesus Christ. That's an idol. It doesn't make any difference if it's sowing or reading or hunting or fishing or whatever the case may be. If it takes first in your life over Jesus Christ, it's an idol. And you better get it out. Or you better get our life straightened around to where that idol doesn't come first, but that the Lord comes first. He's number one. And that's what the Scriptures tells us. He's number one. And so it's important that we realize that this gospel of Christ that we talk about is so beautiful and so neat. And it is so beautiful. It's fabulous. Sometimes it's so fabulous that it's hard for us to comprehend. It's so mighty. And yet, you know, it's so drastic to those who will reject it and turn away. And you know, I thought about the Lord, and it says He wept. And you know, I thought about the Lord when we stand before the judgment bar of God. Do you think that the Lord would say, well, I'm going to send you down to hell and you're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And boy, I'm glad of that. No, I'm going to tell you right now, every soul is precious to the Lord. And He's not going to be happy. He's not going to rejoice to send a soul to hell. That's not going to be a joy to Him whatsoever. It's going to break His heart. Because He loves them. Just like you and I today, when we love our children, we love our parents, we love our friends, we love those about us, our husbands, our wives, we love them. And if something was happened to them, why then that breaks our heart. Well, you know, we are His children. And when something happens to us, it breaks His heart. And He came and He gave His life and lived it so you and I would know. And gave His life that we would have life. Not just for you or not just for me. Not just for the people across the street or those up in Nova Scotia or those down in Brantford or those over in the Philippines or the Africa or down in Yucatan. He gave it for everybody, whether they're Russians or Chinese or Japanese or Mexicans or Indians or Negroes or whoever it is. He gave His life for all mankind. And He said, I'll draw all men unto Me. And you know, that makes me stop and think. Because if I say that I'm a servant of the Lord, and I believe in the Lord, and He called me and He sent me, as a servant of the Lord, that means that I have to love you, and I have to love your soul. And I have to have a desire that your soul would be saved. And not only those of you, my brothers and sisters, the gospel of Christ, but every individual that you see all your life, you should have a love for that soul and a desire that that individual would be able to enter into the kingdom with your Father and with His Son. Now that doesn't mean that you have to like everything they do, because you know the Scriptures tell us we can abhor sin. It doesn't say that everything that we have to say, well, we're going to take your sin, and you know, your sin's all right. No, that isn't what it says. It says that we're to love the sinner. He didn't say we were to love the sin, but that we were to love the sinner. And it's important that we realize that. And I know that some will rise up and say, oh my goodness gracious, you don't have a right to judge. And how true that is. You know, a person doesn't have a right to judge whether someone's going to hell or whether they aren't going to hell, because you never know that they won't receive Christ in their heart and repent and come unto the Lord. You never know. That's not your judgment to call. That's God's to call. But to help them, to visit with them, if you love their soul, that means you're going to bear witness to them and you're going to speak to them if you find them doing those things that will cause them to lose their soul. And so you say unto them, you know what you're doing. The Scriptures say that unless you change and unless you repent, you will be cast out. Now, I didn't write the Scriptures. I didn't preserve them. But I was called and sent to teach them. And I know that the Scriptures warns us and tells us of those things. And so I can't go and say, you're going to hell. But I can tell them, you know, if you don't repent and change your ways, the Scripture says your soul is going to be lost. Because it's important that we realize that we are our brother's keeper. It's important that we realize that we are to support and help one another. And our brother read this morning out of the Scriptures how that there needs to be a correction. How it's to be done. It's to be done in love, not in hate. It's to be done in gentleness and kindness. Then there's a possible chance that it would work. If it's done in hate, if it's done in anger, if it's done in that manner, then it won't be done because you turn that person off. And so as the gospel of Christ, and as we gather together here as the body of Christ today, we have a responsibility to God to be a witness of Him. We have a responsibility of God to love the souls of the children of men and have a desire that they would know Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our responsibility. That's the heritage of the restored gospel, is to preach the gospel, that good news, to preach the gospel of Christ unto the nations of the world. And the Lord says that this gospel shall go to all the nations, kindred, tongue, and people before the end shall come. And it will indeed. And we have begun to see it go. Some of us may not live long enough to see all the rest of it, but we have lived long enough to know that it's begun and it's going forth unto the children of men. And that gospel is the saving power that comes to the children of men. Without it, there is no saving power. Without Jesus Christ, what do you have? We're told that there's no other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved. Only through and by Him. And so it's no other name. It's not by Hubert Yates or Schultenheimer or Rafferty Johnson or nobody. It's by Jesus Christ the Lord, the one that loves our soul, the one that has a desire that you and I would open up while He's knocking at the door, that we would open up our hearts and our minds and allow Him to come in and to sup with us and to be our Lord. And to be our guide, to be our strength, to be able to overcome the enemy of life. And we have an enemy of life. Let's not fool ourselves. Every waking moment that you have, you got an enemy. An enemy that wants to destroy you if you're following Jesus Christ. An enemy that wants to head you off if you're trying to follow Christ or you're trying to know of Him, that you're trying to learn of Him, then that's the beginning of problems, because then he wants to head you off. He don't want you to know Christ. He wants to stop you. Because he knows if you know Christ and you follow him, you have salvation for your soul if you endure to the end. That's why our brother said this day to study. Study, 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 study. So that you know. So that when you go someplace, myself, or wherever it is, when I'm out teaching the gospel of Christ, I always tell people, you know, don't take my word for it, because my word isn't worth anything. But I'll show you in the scripture. And then you can say, well, Brother Huber didn't say that, but you can say, I read where it says thus and so. How important that is for you to read it, for you to know that that's what the scripture says. It's important. Then somebody might come along, and like he said this morning, you know, you might not say, well, it's right here. You might have to look it up in the concordance and everything. But if they don't give you time to look it up in the concordance, there's one thing that you do know, and you do know that you've read it, and it's there. You do know that the promises of God are there. And you know that you can trust him and lay hold of those promises. And we're just as important to him today as those in the time of Peter and James and John or Nephi or Moroni or whoever they are. You're his child. You're his children. We're just important to him today as all those from the very beginning down through the period of time that he says we're all nations have made of one blood. We're just as important to God. And the life that our Lord gave on the cross is just as significant to you and I as it was to those who lived back in that time and saw it and witnessed it and heard him look up and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How true. How beautiful. There's the story. There's the story of the charity that he tells us that we should pray for in these last days. That's the story of it. That's the story of it. And remember, it's that gospel. Remember what our brother read to you today over there in the second Timothy and the second chapter of Timothy there. In the third chapter of Timothy it is. Over there in about the 16th to 17th verse, he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What is that Scripture? Peter says that's the Word, that's the Gospel, which was preached unto you that doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever in the first chapter of 1 Peter. That's the same gospel that the Apostle Paul said, hey, he says, you know, what's going on here? He says, I'm surprised you're so soon taken away, he says, into another gospel. And he says, there isn't another. That's in the first chapter of Galatians. I'm going to read that. Sixth verse in the first chapter. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Here they had it, and then they let it slip away. Let it get out and get away and slip away through their fingers. He says, which is not another. There isn't another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Isn't this world full of people today that pervert the gospel of Christ? Don't we understand the scripture in the 15th chapter of Matthew when he says the blind leaders lead the blind? And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. Don't we understand that there's false gospels, false teachings, false supposedly what they call good news all over the world that's not teaching the truth? Where do we hear that? Everywhere we go, you hear it on TV, you hear it on the radio, you hear them preaching on the street corners. Wherever you go, you hear a false gospel. You hear a changing God. You hear one that they cut the end of the key off when he says, I'm the Lord and I change not. So they cut the end of the key off and says, I'm the Lord and I change. If he does, how are you going to find him? If he does, well, of what purpose then are your books if he's a changing Lord? That's why you can go out and preach the gospel of Christ and know those things that you preach are true and important for the welfare of the souls of the children of men, because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no alterations. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And isn't that the truth? He has called, he has restored this gospel on the earth after that 1260 years. He has restored it, and he restored the priesthood. He restored the priesthood by a hand of an angel. So the priesthood of the Church of Christ couldn't be checked back to the great and abominable church or to one of the whores that split off from that great and abominable church. The priesthood goes back to the time when an angel come down and ordained them. And he said he restored that gospel. And if it's restored, it's like it used to be. That means our Christ is alive. That means he hears the prayers. That means he's reaching out. His hand isn't shortened. His arm isn't shortened. He's reaching out to the souls of the children of men. He's calling you. He's asking us to come. He's calling us and asking us to prepare ourselves that we could be his servants, that we could go out as polished shafts in his holy hand to proclaim the gospel of Christ to salvation. That even the Lord of the vineyard would go with us because of the desire of our heart and the love that we have for him, that we love God with all our might, mind, and strength, that we love those about us, our neighbors. What does that love do? What does that love do? You know, that love gives us a power. He tells us that, you know, they talked about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and they talked about this and that, but he says, I say unto you, you know, he says, love your enemies. That's putting the gospel of Christ to use, brothers and sisters. We might have faith, the first base. Yep. We might have repentance, the second base. We might have baptism, the third base in that baseball game. But I'll tell you, between that third base and home, there's a lot of the gospel of Christ that people don't apply to their lives. There's a lot of stumbling blocks that we fall on. And one of them is to love our enemies. To do good to those who would despitefully use us. And to pray for those who would persecute us. That love gives us a power. That love gives us the power to forgive. It gives us a power. And the Lord tells us that if we can't forgive, then he doesn't forgive us. Are you carrying aught against a brother or sister? Do you think you can carry aught against a brother and sister? Didn't he say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? That you know that isn't to be. Our brother read today that you handle them very gently and you let them know that you love them. And you know that love does a lot of things. It conquers many and many a problem. Where anger, heartache, strife, it doesn't. That's a beautiful part about that. That love is mighty, and it can overcome all things. And you and I are part of that body of Christ today. Those of us that gathered together here, oh, they're still those scattered all out. You know, we got Buzz and Brian over in Africa today. We got brothers in Yucatan. We got them scattered all over. We got brothers in the Philippines. We got them everywhere that you can think of. Okay? And you know, it's important that we realize that we have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility, like the Apostle Paul says, if we're going to preach the gospel or teach the gospel, you sisters, he says you must live the gospel. It's not good enough to preach it. It's not good enough to have that guitar if it isn't in tune. What good is it? How can you play a song if it isn't in tune? If you wanted to play a song, they say, oh man, that's terrible sounding stuff. What happened to that guy? Or the world would say, oh, you know, he's a hypocrite. He teaches one thing and lives another. How many times have you heard that? That's what the world likes to use on people to say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian, all right, but you're stealing from your employer. or you're out doing this, or you're out doing that, or you're doing this, you know, and you're angry about this, and you blew up about that, and you're using profanity on that, and you know, we can profess to be a Christian all we want. But you know, it's the Lord that says that they know us by our fruit. And it's how we put that gospel of Christ to use in our life. That's what it amounts to. If we don't put the gospel of Christ to use in our life, then it's of no value. We can go around and proclaim it all we want. But you think they'll listen? You know, I've used the example a lot of times. You know, I'm here and I tell you, you know, we have to love one another and we have to forgive one another and we have to be gentle and kind and patient with one another. And all the time I'm telling you that, I come down off the podium and I hit my brother Mark right in the eye. Which one would you remember? Would you remember that I was trying to say that the gospel of Christ is love, that we are to love the souls of the children of men and have a desire that they would be saved, and have a desire that they would know Jesus Christ, and have a desire that they would know that they could pray and that He answers prayers, that they're not by themselves, that they can walk with the Lord and feel His presence, that they can call upon Him to heal their child? Can you imagine what the world goes through when they don't even know the Lord? And don't know to say, hey, call for an elder. Or don't even know the Lord that can call around and say, we want the congregation to pray for us. You mean to tell me you don't think that they're missing something? Yes, they're missing something. You heard Marvin's testimony this morning about what happens through prayer and through the people that praise for him in administration. You bet they miss something. Just like a little child that's not presented to God and blessed, they miss something. Because the Scripture says that their angel behold to face their father daily. You know, there's something that we got to understand, that the gospel is good news. That's why Brother Hill today said, you know, we got to study, because, you know, that's pretty foolish, you know, if we come along here and we were gathering stuff out here on the lawn because there's a bunch of stuff there that was thrown out, and we were gathering stuff over there, and out there was laying a great big old hunk of gold out there, you know, and everybody just gathered around. We wouldn't pick it up. We just left everything just fall around and everything. We'd want to pick that up and use it. Gosh, you can feed people. Okay? We have gold. We have that. He says that the psalmist in the 19th chapter tells us that that's worth more than gold and silver and honey, and even the honeycomb. It's sweeter than even the honeycomb. And it's called the gospel of Christ. Those things that Christ says I teach, which my Father told me to keep. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's called that which is necessary to nurture the soul. Boy, I'll tell you, we say, okay, at noon we're going to eat. And our sisters really put on a meal. And boy, the line's clear back up here and the people are down there eating. Don't you know that you have to feed your soul? Our souls have to be fed. If they're to grow, our souls have to be fed. If they have the strength and the stature to resist Satan, our souls have to be fed. That's why we gather together and pray one for another and visit one with another of the hope that we have within us and bear the testimonies of the power of God where He moved our lives. That's the purpose of those things, so that we can grow and so that we can give it to another, so that we can tell them why we have the hope that's within us, to tell them of the experiences that we had. Oh, I know, some people will laugh and ha-ha, you know, and say, yeah, that's all funny stuff, you know. That's not important, but it is important, because at least you know that you've tried. And you know, I've been out and I've knocked on doors and tried to talk to people and have them tell me, you know, to get off their porch and, you know, don't step on my grass and get off my sidewalk and don't call and don't come back. I'm going to sick the dogs on you. You know, we've been told a lot of things in time past. But you know, it doesn't make one bit of difference. You leave with a broken heart because you know you have the word of truth. But you also know who sent you. And you know something else? The Holy Scripture tells me that there was multitudes that walked with our Lord no more. And so I'm aware of the fact it's impossible for me to hold every soul that I talk to. But it isn't impossible for me to have a desire that that soul would hear their Lord. That that soul would come to the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ and embrace it and hold it and endure to the end. That's what it's about. That's what this gospel's about. That's what the missionary effort's about, is to reach out to the soul of the children of men. And how important that is. That's what it's all about. It's not about driving trucks. It's not about being a carpenter or a welder or an Indian chief. It's about preparing our souls to meet our God. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. And you know, it's a personal thing. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. It's personal. It's a personal thing because you have to accept Christ yourself. I can't force you to do it. Christ don't even do that. He don't drag you by the hair of the head, and he don't twist your arm. He lays it before you. He lets you know that he loves you, but you still have to receive him. But he's given you the God-given right to reject him, hasn't he? And boy, what a terrible thing sometimes. I wish you didn't. But you know, we have a God-given right to reject the Lord, reject his love, reject the things that he has provided for us. We have that God-given right. And you know, we see sometimes our loved ones doing that. And it breaks our heart. But remember one thing. When you pray and you ask God to send the Spirit, know this. That when you pray with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he sends it. But he's not going to force that individual to receive it. It's up to them. Just like it's up to you and I to receive that spirit and to take it and to use it for the welfare of our soul and for those about us. To use it for the generating of the power to have a light for our God, that we would glorify him in the holy kingdom. In his home. And if we don't apply them to our life, it's just exactly like that guitar that Roger had. It wasn't tuned. And you know, you and I must tune our souls. We must tune our souls into harmony with God's will. We have to have the harmony with God. That harmony then is so sweet that it caresses the ears and the hearts of those about us and gives them a desire to know Christ and to know our Father which is in heaven. That's our job. That's our job. Every waking moment of the day, it's our job to be a witness for Jesus Christ, not only by word of mouth, but by our life. So that they can see the Lord in us. So they can recognize that he has the children here below. Those who believe. Those who have a desire to follow him. I'm going to read in the first Psalms. First chapter, first verse. I'm going to start. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." That his delight is in the law of the Lord. That his delight is in that word that our brother talked about today. That his delight is in that rod of iron that goes to the tree of life, which he says is the word of God. That those individuals that held on to it, they could go to the tree of life and they partook of the fruit of life. But remember this. Some of them were lost because of the mocking finger of the world. Look out. Satan isn't bound yet. And he's out to destroy the children of men. And that rod of iron, that word of God, that it tells us here that we should meditate upon it day and night, that has to do with the food of the Spirit. That has to do with the power that comes, that helps us to resist Satan and his enticings, to lead us astray, to tell us things that we don't want to hear, or to convince us that our sister over there is a bad sister, or our brother, or something like that. And you know, he doesn't come along and say, you know, I want you to take a gun and go across the street and kill him. That's that guy over there. But no, he doesn't do that. He comes over and says, you know what? I'm going to kill your dog. And the next thing you know, he comes along and says, you know, he tried to run over your cat with his car. And then the next thing he comes along and says, you know, he was really getting after your kid the other day on the tricycle. And then the first thing you know, he just keeps it up and keeps it up, and you're ready to take a shotgun and go across. He is like Jesus Christ, our Lord, said. He is the Father. He's the one that lies to the soul that would destroy us. He's our enemy. It's not the brother or sister that's next to you. It's not the brother or sister, perhaps, that isn't living the life that I like, that I believe in. You know? But it's the one that has enticed us to live in that way. He's our enemy. Satan is our enemy. He's the enemy to all mankind. He's the enemy to all of us. And he wants to destroy us. That's the enemy you and I want to buck by Christ and causing to flee before us. Third verse. And he shall be those who are meditating now upon the Lord day and night. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringeth forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow! They'll be watered by the Spirit of the Lord. You know something? When I got here, I've told some of you, you know, I think that Missouri is browner than I've seen in a long time, and I understand you haven't had any water. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If the Lord isn't active in your soul and in your heart and in your mind, you're brown. You're dying. You're dying without the water of the Lord. He's the one that waters us to keep us alive. And it's important that we have to remember that we have to have that water of the Lord to keep us alive. And if that word of God isn't there, if we're too busy to listen to it, we got to go down, we got sports to see, we got to go do this, we have this, we got 10,000 other things to do other than go to church or other than study like you heard our brother say this day, or even go visit the sick, or go over and talk to a brother and sister, or whatever the case may be, where you might visit one with another by the Lord, you've missed your calling. Because he has intended that you and I support one another. Isn't that what he says? That we become one? That we work together? There's no schism within that body? That we become one? Can you imagine the power that God's people has when they're one? Not one in the wisdom or the direction or the power of the arm of the flesh or the wisdom of a man, but one in the Spirit of Christ. Can you imagine what happened? Can you imagine what will take place? The power that's there. That's something that's impossible for us to really just even grasp or understand. And that, you know, and that's there. It's there all the time. And I want to go over in Timothy. I want to go over in 2 Timothy where our brother was reading there today. And I thought sure he was going to read another scripture of mine, but he didn't, bless his heart. I want to go over in 2 Timothy in the second chapter, and I want to read the starting at the first verse. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And you know, I would have to admonish you the same tonight. I'd have to tell you to be strong in that grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. How important it is that we talk one with another. That we talk one to another. So like if my brother Mark is out someplace and he's talking to somebody, that he can tell him why he has the hope that's within him. Can you tell him why you have the hope that's within you if you don't study? Can you even begin to verify it? Can you teach those things even with meekness and fear? Can you do it? You know, that's like me trying to tell somebody how to overhaul a computer. I can't even run one, much less overhaul it. You know, it's something that if we're to be a teacher, we must first understand what we're teaching, or it's impossible to convey it to another. And so how important it is that we know our Lord. How important it is that we have walked close enough that we have experienced His Spirit. We have experienced those things. And so they can say, oh, no, I don't believe that. You know, well, that's an old myth. That's, you know, that's a fable. That's it. But you know, they can't talk you out of an experience that you had with the Lord, because it fills your soul. It fills your soul. And it's important that we realize that. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, we do endure hardness because a lot of times people get after us and they tell you, get out of here. I know you want to talk to you. Don't come back over. Be sure and don't talk to my son. Don't this, don't that. And you know, that really breaks your heart. I can understand to a certain extent why the Lord wept. It breaks your heart. Especially it breaks your heart when you know that the gospel that you're carrying has a way to save their soul. And you can see them turning it away. And that breaks your heart. But you have to endure those things as a good soldier in the Lord. He never once said that we're going to win every battle when you go out to try to convert a soul. He never once said every time that we go out we're going to win. He never once said that when you go out there, you're not going to run into problems. Because all of those that's been in the field preaching the gospel know you certainly run into problems everywhere you go. But you know, he says that we endure those things as a good soldier in the Lord. And that's important that we realize that not everything is going to just reach just fine, and not everything's going to come out, that there's going to be failures because of the souls of the children of men, and because they have a right to reject the truth. And you can't do a thing about that. Only thing that you can do, you can know that you tried. And that's important. It's important that you know that you've at least tried to reach out to them and to tell them. It's important that you're ready to go again if you have the opportunity and tell them again. You know, I heard my Uncle Orrin Cadmus preach one time, and he said the sin wasn't to fall down always. He said the sin was not to get back up. And you know, that's true. We have a right to get back up. We have a right to approach God. If we're sinning in our life, if we've done something in our life, we have a right to come unto Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But that's important, though, remember. Because if you just go and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me about that, of course I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. You know, He tells us that we reach Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's how we go to Him. My dad preached a sermon one time in Colorado Reunion on prayer. And he says, you don't go and write your prayer out on a piece of paper and tack it up on the wall there above your bed. And then you go in there and jerk your clothes off and get all ready to go, you know, in bed and say, there it is, Lord, and just jump in bed. You know, that's not true. Anybody that prayed, anybody that preached the gospel, anybody that taught the gospel, You know that you might have one thing in mind, but when the Spirit touches you, you end up telling them a lot more than what you had in mind. You find out that the Lord directs you, and then you kneel down and you start praying, and then you think of other people that you need to pray for. How important that is. Not only for the physical, but most importantly for the spirit. Because there's those that are spiritually sick and need the help of the Lord. And you know, you and I can't do it. You know, of ourselves, we can't do anything. You know, there's nobody that can go in and say, you know, I converted this person, I converted that person. Just like a brother said, you know, I asked for your prayers, and I did. I asked for your prayers. But if there's something that I say tonight that has touched your heart, it's because the Spirit of God put it there. I can't. I can't give a person a desire to pluck the hardness from their heart and allow God to soften it. Only thing I can do is try to explain to them how important it is for them to do it and allow that Spirit to come in and touch them and move them. But it is my job. It is my job is to love them. That's my job. That's your job, is to love all mankind and to have a desire that they would repent and come unto God, that they might live with Him. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, isn't that true? You know, those of us who have endeavored to follow the gospel of Christ and to teach it and be a witness of it, you know, what good is it if I said to Margaret, you know, I'll be down to your place tomorrow and we'll have a sacrament service, or we'll have a prayer service, or I'll preach, or we'll have a study session and everything, and then somebody come up and say, hey boy, looky here, I got a ticket for the Kansas City Royals and the Arizona Rattlesnakes. Oh boy, come on, you know. Hey boy, and then I'd call her up and say, you know, I just can't make it. You know, there's a lot of things that can enter into our life that causes us not to be or to pull away from our responsibility. But we have a responsibility. And you know, like he said here, that we have to please him who called us to be a soldier. That's our Lord. And you know, he called us to do that. And you know, I want to bring something out that our brother brought out this morning. He went down and bought a rifle, and he couldn't group the shells in. They were just going all over the place, and one thing and another, and he went down and he bought some other shells, and finally they got a group and started grouping like that, and it come in, you know, like it's supposed to be. You know, the shells that this soldier and the rifles that these soldiers of the Lord carried, you know, they shoot a different bullet. It's not a lead bullet or a jacketed bullet. But it's a bullet of love. It's a bullet of forgiveness and compassion and mercy and desire for the welfare of their soul. That's the bullet that the soldiers that carry for the Lord has. That's what they use with the hope that it penetrates their heart and gives them a desire to know their Lord. In Christ. That's what that soldier uses. He carries a gun of eternal life that shoots the bullets of that charity that the Book of Mormon says that we're to pray for so diligently in these latter days. And we're living in them. That's concern for brothers and sisters. That's concern for one another. That's concern. When something touches their life, isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? When one mourns, we all mourn. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. It's a concern one for another. It's a concern if one begins to get off the trail and begin to wander away from the Lord. It's concern. Not mad. Not going over there, boy, looking, hey, I've never done that before. No. No, it's concern like the Lord had concern, where he would teach him and he would tell him, you know, I love you. And you knew it because you could feel it. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Isn't that the truth? If we want to strive for mastery, our brother said, you know, we need to study. Well, what if we say now, we're going to go out for you, Lord, and get out there. We want to be a master in this, you know. We want to carry the proper gun. So somebody says, well, hey, wait a minute. Do you have to be baptized to enter in the kingdom of heaven? You know, after all, you know, you just believe and you're saved. You say, oh, yeah, brother, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that'll be all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says if you're going to strive for that mastery, you have to strive properly, and that's with the Word of God. That's not with the Word of man. That's not with the whims of men or the desires of men, but it's with the Word of God. That's how you strive for that mastery. That's how you teach it, with the Word of the living God. The Word that doesn't change. That Word, like the Lord told Isaiah in the 40th chapter there, and starting in the 6th verse, he said, you know, go out there and cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Oh, you're all of grass, the field, and one thing and another, just similar to what Peter said in the 1st chapter of 1st Peter. And all this, and he says, you're going to die and go away, but he says, the word of the Lord is going to stand forever. God, oh, are we ever grateful for our God for that? That means you and I can know Him and find Him and know what's required of us. Because it doesn't change. And it will be forever. That means we can lay hold of that rod of iron and know there's no twist in it. Nobody cut a piece out of it and threw it away. That means that in the Lord, that 36 inches is still a yard. Somebody didn't add 4 inches to it. Or somebody didn't cut out 5 inches off of it and say, well, it's a yard. Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah, we're coming in there. It won't fit if you're measuring it in that way. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Now, you know, that really makes sense, doesn't it? How in the world can I tell somebody that this apple off of that tree is really sweet when I've never eaten one? How do I tell them that God is alive today and He hears prayer, but I don't pray? No, I've never had any experience. No, it's just something, you know, it's just, whatever. You know, we have to be partakers of what we're going to deliver. Or you can't really tell the people with any authority or with any convincing power that you know what you're talking about and it's really true and that it is really sweet. It's sweet to the soul of the children of men. That's what it's about. And you and I are to be partakers of that fruit because you and I are called to be a witness to Jesus Christ. We're the body of Christ. And members in particular. We're part of that wife. We're part of that. We have put on Christ. We're to wear that garment. We have put Him on. That's what it says. When you're baptized, you put on Christ. And He says you become a new creature. A new individual. You're not like the old one. But we have put Him on. And you know, sometimes I ask myself, how do I wear Him? Gosh, is he all greasy? Got holes in that garment? You know, what in the world have I done with him? I put him on. Is he really like that physical lamb? Is he plain and pure and whole in my life yet? Or have I allowed old Satan to get in and do things that he shouldn't? And so it's important that we realize that with the gospel of Christ comes a responsibility. And number one, that is to love one another. That's to love one another. To love God naturally with all our might, mind, and soul. And Christ, the gospel of Christ. To love righteousness. To love those things that's essential for the soul's welfare. That's what this is all about. That's what you and I are called to do. That's what you and I are called to do. That's our job. That's our job. When you get up and you punch in the morning, you punch the clock in the morning, your job is to be a number one Christian for Jesus Christ. Your job is to bear a light that will glorify His Father which is in heaven. That's our job. That's what it's important to do. And my time's gone. But I want to read in closing. I want to read a poem that my son, Ed Yates, wrote. It's called What Path? And you know, I want us to know that there's a lot of paths. And it's important that we choose the right one. What path is it you're walking? Is it the one you should trod? Is it always leading upward to God? Or do you serve another whose pathways are always down, until within his darkness you are finally bound? Its gate does not come easy, so open up your eyes, for one is always truthful, but the other always lies. Always be obedient. Know He loves you true. For if you fail to do so, the other waits for you. Remember now, my brethren, and lean on Him today. Build on His foundation, and safe you will stay. Thank you.